This is Sophia Cahalane with Professor Fran Berman from Rensselaer Polytechnic Institute, where she researches and teaches in computer science, correct?
Yes.
Well, it's very nice to have you here. I'm glad we could schedule this time to call.
Thanks. It's excellent to be here.
I wanted to start off with a couple basic questions about how you originally got interested in STEM and kind of where you went from there. So, backstory time.
I have always been interested in STEM. In particular, I've always been interested in math. I loved math as a kid. I still love math. All my degrees are in math, including my PhD. And, you know, like a lot of kids that love math, you start out and you just love puzzles and you love solving problems, and it's just a fun thing to do. And, you know, the other thing I think I've always been interested in, which is, I think, a hallmark of many scientists, is I'm just really curious. So you're always asking why. And, you know, if you've ever had a kid who is like, why? I think a lot of us don't get over that and carry it into adulthood. And that's really critical to science. You always have to be curious as to why things are the way they are, why you're seeing the phenomena you see, what does this mean? Yeah. And I think curiosity goes a long way in science.
Yeah. So you mentioned you studied math all through schooling and everything. Where did you go for that, and how did you get into computer science from there?
I did. I was interested in math all the way along, and even when I was in high school, I had taken all the math classes you could take, so they sent me to junior college to take math classes that my high school didn't have.
Wow.
And then when I got to college, which was UCLA, I lived in California. I was a math major, and I took that all the way through. And then I wanted to go to grad school as a math major, so I ended up at University of Washington in Seattle, which is a completely wonderful place. And I ended up getting my PhD there in math. But I kind of moved to theoretical computer science, which has a lot in common with mathematics, kind of midway through. So the area I got interested in working in was kind of at the intersection of math, computer science, and logic, and so philosophy. And so my advisors were actually there were theoreticians in the computer science department, but I was in the math department. And when it was time to go for a job, I got a job as a theoretical computer scientist in a computer science department.
So what are you working on currently?
So I actually moved from theory to parallel processing, to grid computing, to data science, and these days, I'm looking at the social, environmental, and ethical implications of the Internet of Things, which is what keeps me up at night and an amazing area. So for your listeners who don't know what the Internet of Things are, they're probably participating in it. If they have a Fitbit or they have a Tesla or they have an Alexa in their home or they have an iPhone, all of these are connected devices that share information and make decisions autonomously and all of that. And that's what the Internet of Things is.
Okay.
It's the big ecosystem of devices and systems that some of which think for themselves. And all of them are connected, and many of them have sensors that interact with the world. And I'm very interested in looking at the social implications, so how that touches society and governance and privacy. I'm interested in environmental implications. You know, you can't imagine how many iPhones are contributed to e-waste every year, which is not good for the planet. And we think a lot about emissions versus electric versus other kinds of things for self-driving cars. I'm interested in ethical issues. You know, who should your self-driving car hit if it has a lot of bad choices? That's called the trolley problem. I'm also interested in technological innovations with respect to all of this. So all of those kinds of questions are really interesting to me. And I've been working now on creating what you can think of as an impact universe, all the different places you can make a decision that can either benefit society or maybe benefit private interests. So a good example of that is if I upgrade my device in software versus hardware, that means I'm buying fewer devices, but it also means I'm contributing to less e-waste. So imagine with your iPhone or your smartphone, if you throw it out every time it needs an upgrade, that's expensive for you, the consumer, but it's also adding to the e-waste of the world. So it actually has an impact. But if you upgrade it in software as much as you can, it turns out to be a lot more friendly to both your pocketbook and the environment.
Yeah. So kind of on the subject of the Internet of Things, do you see do you see yourself as kind of contributing, helping those who might have been overlooked in history, just, you know, such as women or people of color, just kind of through your research and study of the Internet of Things, can you see yourself like creating opportunities for these people?
Well, my particular focus in the Internet of Things is really on looking at how we can kind of steer our development and use and governance of these devices so that they benefit the public interest.
Okay.
So in that sense, that's everybody in the public interest and not just, you know, a particular cohort of people. I think the Internet of Things is interesting because on the one hand, the fact that we have all of these devices and we have all of this information really democratizes things. So it allows people to have access to information that they never had before.
Mm-hmm.
On the other hand, we have to be really careful about creating things that have embedded biases.
Yes. So on the subject of biases, have you ever experienced such implicit biases from your peers in the field?
Biases in terms of my gender?
Yes.
It's interesting. It's a complicated situation because we all show up as we show up. And I've done a lot of things in my career that have been really exciting. I've run large organizations and I've handled large amounts of funding. And I ran a supercomputer center in California and I helped start an international organization and all of that. And my experience has been that when people know me or they know of me, things have not been particularly problematic.
Mm-hmm.
But if I show up and I'm short, I'm female, I'm petite, people rarely assume that, you know, I'm interested in math or I've run a big organization or, you know, or the things that I've had the privilege to do in my career I've done. And I think in general, you know, you think about kind of societal biases and that we all sort of grow up with in a way, and you think, oh, here's a job. We need somebody who's really, really good in math, is the first thing you think about. Well, let's get a woman.
Yeah.
It's typically not the first thing you think about. And so those kinds of biases have always been, I think, around. And I think we've shown some progress in terms of trying to get rid of them, but it's still the case that oftentimes, I'm one of the few women in the room, if not the only woman in the room. That was certainly true when I was, you know, in math class and in various positions I've been. It's better now than it used to be, but it's still not 50-50.
True. So we're running out of time. Just one more question. What message might you want to share with young girls or others in order to encourage them to pursue a career in science?
Well, I think what I want to say is pursue a career in the things that really excite you. And science is really exciting to me. Science and math are incredibly exciting. There's the world is such a big place, and there's so many reasons that all of the things happen the way they are. And if you're a person who's really curious about that, go for it.
Mm-hmm.
Now, realize that you're not going to know everything. No one knows everything. And there's always something to learn, and there's always someone who's smarter than you and more accomplished than you, and none of that matters. And there's things that will discourage you. And I think, you know, sort of keeping going and keeping at it is good.
Mm-hmm.
But I also think, you know, you got to listen to the pit of your stomach. If you're feeling excited about a particular area, you should go for that area. And it should be something that comes from you and the things that you're interested in. And I also think to keep yourself interested in everything is to sort of open yourself up to new ideas.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, I would really encourage people to go into science as a career. It's tremendously satisfying. And do that because you're curious, and do that because you love answering questions, and do that because things compel you.
Well, thank you very much for talking to me about this.
Thanks.